Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord!
Naught have I gotten, but what I have received. Grace hath bestowed it, since I believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. By grace. To read today from Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 4. reading to the 10th verse and then also verses 17 and 18 of the same chapter. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. To the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belong a confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Verses 17 and 18. Now therefore, O Lord our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. Let's pray that we might be taught as Daniel was taught, and was one that was truly beloved of his God. Our Father, we come through Christ Jesus, thy Son, the perfect one, one with thee in all of eternity, one with thee in creation, one with thee in planning our redemption, and then being separate from thee because of our sin, and crying out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, we confess that he was forsaken by thee for our sin. We pray that each one of us might be able to say, my sin. We ask, Father, for that plain teaching that Daniel had and others had with him. We think of Paul later being taught and knowing his sin and knowing the great blessing of the redemption in Christ. Father, that we may know both that way of repentance, that way of submission, that way of agreement with thee, that way of sorrow for our sin, and also the way of faith in Christ. We pray that, Father, for awakening and salvation to be made known both in the church and in the world. We pray for the reviving that is needed in all of thy truth and all of the practice of it. We pray also, Father, for thy continued blessings in other areas. We give thanks where we have the blessings in nature, the blessings as a nation, the blessings in our homes, and we pray for those which are also so desperately needed by many in suffering, and especially the blessings so much needed in our homes to establish them and to reconcile and restore them where they are broken and troubled. We pray that thou would teach the church according to thy word, that it may in turn teach not the way of man, but thy way, the true way, through Christ. Amen. Looking once again at this prayer, this confession of Daniel, this which he gave in the first year of Darius the Mede, after the Jews had been captive for many years. In the midst of those years, he gave this prayer, even nearing the end of the captivity, as he knew it would take place, knowing by the writing of Jeremiah that 70 years would be accomplished in the desolation of Judah and Jerusalem, and then the promise of restoration. What a good example Daniel is, not only of believing the word, reading the message of the prophet Jeremiah, praying on that promise given. And there are promises today, both for Israel and for the Gentiles, that we ought to read and that we ought to learn together in the church and agree together and then pray together in one accord, in one place, in prayer and supplication. Those of the past seem to know that and believe that God was going to give great blessing toward the end of time and for both Jew and Gentile. Isaiah speaks of the time when they will beat the swords into plowshares and the spears into pruning hooks. We do not know exactly how that will happen, when it will happen, but the promises are there. And let's pray that we, with Daniel, will be able to do as the second verse of this ninth chapter states, in the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And then I set my face unto the Lord, my God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. We saw that last week, how he prayed, and I, for one, need to be ashamed that we don't pray in that way that Daniel did. We need to pray in the way he's described, in praying, supplications, fastings, sackcloth, ashes, also in faith, believing the word of God, believing what was written, believing what God could and would do. Also, I would like to point out today who he prayed to, how he knew God. In the fourth verse where we began to read, he stated, he made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. O Lord, the great and dreadful God. Is he that? Was he that to Daniel? We can't really read that. He seems to be very much favored, very much blessed by the Lord from his youth, from his childhood, evidently taught in his childhood, having the fear of the Lord, being so much blessed that God revealed dreams to him. And he was here, though, in sackcloth and ashes, and as we said last week, one that earlier was described with a gold chain around his neck, the third ruler in the kingdom. But he knew God. He knew the only true God. The Lord Jesus prayed just before his death, recorded in John chapter 17. This is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. If we know the only true God, and we know him as Daniel knew him, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, we will want to know Christ. We will want to know Jesus Christ as he prayed and said, we must know both the Father and the Son. Many, I'm afraid, in Judah, through all the years when the prophets had come, and they had not listened, they had not given heed. We read in verse 6, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. He mentions the prophets. He also mentions Moses, what Moses wrote, Josiah, sometime before this, just before the carrying away the captivity, had heard the words of Moses read, and he rent his clothes, and he said, "Great is the wrath of the Lord upon us," by what Moses had written many, many years before. And here, Daniel is referring that the people had not listened to the words of the prophets that came from God, God sending these prophets. There was not only Jeremiah, who had been there, certainly at the time when Daniel was carried away captive. Jeremiah was there beginning at 629 years before Christ, and then spoke to the people for about 40 years, about 43 years, from 629 to 588, is the last recorded words that we have of Jeremiah in the Lamentations. We don't know if he lived longer than that or not, but he wrote those in that year, the last year of the carrying away of the captives, the destruction of Jerusalem. There was also at the same time, or probably just a year before Jeremiah preached and spoke, Zephaniah. There was also, later than that, about the time right after the carrying away the captives, Obadiah. And then also at the same time as Jeremiah, Habakkuk, 626 years before Christ, speaking to the people about 3 years after Jeremiah began. So there were not just Jeremiah, there were the prophets. As he said, "We have not hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets." There also had been, during all of this time, or much of this time, with Jeremiah, or with Daniel rather, amongst the captives, Ezekiel. He was there from the year 595. That was about 7 years before the last captives were taken away, to the year 574. Sometime before this, that he had probably no longer prophesied, about 21 years. Daniel being the one of the longest. I believe it was over 70 years that he prophesied, and that he was there in the land of Babylon with many different kings, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, and then finally here, speaking at this time, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes. He was king over the Chaldeans, and a little later, another one would become king, and then the beginning of the restoration of Jerusalem. So we have an example here of one who prayed rightly to God, giving glory to God. O Lord, the great and dreadful God. I think also of what God himself said by the pen of the psalmist. Sometimes God speaks through the prophet, and the prophet says, "Thus saith the Lord." Other times it seems like God is speaking in the first person. We see that in Psalm 50. Listen to the words as we find them in the last part of that 50th Psalm. "These things hast thou done, and I kept silence." And then listen especially to these words, as God is saying them to whoever he was speaking to at that time, 1,000 years before Christ, but also true now, 2,000 years after Christ. "Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself." Jeremiah didn't think that, or Daniel rather. He said, "Oh, the great and dreadful God." He also saw him as a God of mercy. He saw him as a God of forgiveness. All these different ways he saw the attributes and the character of God. He didn't mistakenly think, like whoever God was speaking to here in Psalm 50. It was a psalm of Asaph, but God was speaking and said, "Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes." And then listen to this, Psalm 50, verse 22. "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. That is God speaking. God spoke then. That same God rules in the heavens. We are to tremble at Him. And there's equally reason to rejoice in Him, especially when we think of God showing His face, showing Himself in the face of Jesus Christ, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth. All these things are true. God is the great and dreadful God. It is equally true, as the Lord Jesus said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why will we perish? Why is there that danger? Why did He have to give His Son? Because out of Christ, He is a great and dreadful God. Consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. The Lord Jesus is sometimes called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is called the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But John also speaks in the book of Revelation of the wrath of the Lamb. There is God's love. There is God's wrath. Because of His wrath, we need His love in Christ. And only when we see His wrath will we know the true, yes, the true need of Christ, the full need of Christ. The Lord Jesus is not just a helper. He is that. But He's much, much more than that. He must be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the all in all. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ, not in us. He promises us many things if we would do them, but we haven't done one of them rightly. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. It is true that Paul could say, after he was a child of God, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And Daniel did many things. But it's also true that God could show, and I won't go into that, in the lack of time, the different saints, that He left them. And they couldn't do anything. And He could leave you or I at any time. Daniel was one of the few that consistently trusted the Lord, consistently obeyed the Lord, even when he was threatened to be thrown in the lion's den. He served the Lord. He knew the great and dreadful God. He knew also the God of mercy. He knew the God of forgiveness. And he prayed to Him. And when he was thrown in the lion's den, he could simply say the next morning that the Lord had sent His angel to shut the mouths of the lions. But God then also appeared to be the great and dreadful God. After Daniel was taken out, the king ordered that the wicked men who plotted against Daniel would be thrown in, and they never reached the bottom of the den. God ordered then those same lions that were tame through the night for Daniel to devour those men and all their families that were thrown in. And the scripture tells us that before they ever reached the bottom, their bones were all broken. The great and dreadful God showed His wrath to one, His love to another. And He can do either to you or I. And we need to learn that. And we need to learn it as Daniel learned it. Daniel humbled himself before the Lord, not only in prayer, but this confession. Listen. Verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither Thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses that they trespassed against Thee. To us belongeth confusion of face. Oh, would to God that we would realize that in every church today, the confusion that's there, the division that's there. We have spoken in times past of the division in Corinth. Paul said to them, are you not carnal? Are you not babes? Where there is amongst you divisions. All of this was taking place. And they came to realize it. They came to sorrow over it. They had a godly sorrow. But we don't seem to have that today. We're proud. Proud in our confusion. The confusion of ordinances, as Ezekiel could speak of them. Confusion. Some churches baptizing this way, some that way. Some have killed each other because of it. That's confusion before the world. Confusion in the church. In the home. Broken homes. Divorces. And the church agreeing with it. Telling. We'll counsel them to do so. That's confusion at best. Terrible disobedience at worst. And we ought to together come together when we don't agree together what God simply says so wonderfully, so plainly, so truly. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. He included all the men of Judah, all the inhabitants, those that were near and afar off, wherever they were. He said it again the second time in verse 8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Oh, how easy to deceive that others may be confused. We see that in our country. One party blames another. One aspect of the people blame the leaders, and the leaders blame the people. Call each other. We've even heard the word in our recent, one of our leaders called others stupid. It's confusion. Confusion of face before God, the great and dreadful God. He sees it all. People think they can deal with it. And they foolishly do, wrongly do oft times, but it's before God and it will stand till the day of judgment. And if not repented of and not washed in the blood of Christ, people will meet up with a great and dreadful God on the day of judgment. O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping mercy and covenant to those that love him and to them that keep his commandments. God's commandments are good. Oh, that we could go back to them together and learn them together. Instead of having all the confusion of faith that we have, let's confess it together and pray that God will teach us together through and because of Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.